pulpit today, Brian Stock, Reverend Brian Stock. Brian and Mandy have been part of the church family for 14 years. Our missionaries in three different places in Asia. And so Brian has never had the opportunity of preaching, and I insisted that he do so. One of the things I like about the fact that they're part of our family is because Mandy's parents, Barbara and Alex, have a home here, and that brings them this way whenever they're stateside. And it's always good for us because we get to see who they are and get updates and hug them and whatever else they let us do, huh? Okay, that's enough. Come on.
Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 18. Now, actually, as you're opening your Bibles, you also can look up here. Today, I have in my hand a gift bag from a local Brevard bookstore. And the bag says, Peace, Love, Books. You know, we often associate different words with the Christmas season. Peace, love. Okay, well, let's add in joy, maybe merry and bright. Well, our text today in Matthew 2, 1 through 18, as I read it, I want you to select a few words that would go along with this passage. Select a few words that would describe the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. So hear the word of the Lord, Matthew 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judah. For it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by way of another. Now when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the regions who were 2 years old or young or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. Thus ends the reading of the word. Let's pray. God, may your spirit give us ears to hear, to be able to hear your good news in this passage. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so what were the words that you selected? Well, maybe it was joy and peace, maybe hope. Yes, yes, these are good words. These are Christmas words, and we all want these words. We need these words, and surely we see this in our passage. You might, though, have been thinking about other words. These are more darker and disturbing. Authoritarian, furious, flight, infanticide, refuge, deception, strife. These are probably not the best words for gift bags. See, the coming of Christ not only solves lots of problems, it also creates lots of problems. It doesn't just bring tremendous peace, but it also creates collision and war. The coming of Christ is the collision of the heavenly kingdom breaking into the kingdom of this earth. Jesus doesn't just bring peace. He also brings strife. You see, the Christmas story gives us both peace and war. What we will see in Matthew 2 is that the coming of Christ is the ending of the kingdom of man and the beginning of the kingdom of God. It's both. It's both. And we must see this for our faith. So let's look how it is the ending of the kingdom of man. Now, I'm using the word ending in two different ways, right? An ending, it can either mean telos, that is final purpose, or ending can mean stop or cease. The coming of Christ brings both. King Herod is the antagonist of the passage. He's also the main character. King Herod shows us the telos ending of where the kingdom of man ends and where it's going. See, Matthew 2, what it's doing in logical terms, King Herod is the reductio absurdum. Take man's ways out to their logical conclusions, and this is what you get. King Herod's, plural, King Herod's, in nations, in workplaces, in families. Now, in theological terms, it's when God pulls back the reins. He allows the reins to be loosened, and that common grace is pulled back. You have in all of us King Herod. You see, in King Herod, the telos, the vision of the kingdom of man, blessed are the powerful, for they shall inherit the earth. History tells us Herod ascended to his throne through power and force. He came to power in 40 BC, and then by 37 BC, that's 3 years later, he had crushed all his opponents by force. Herod lust for power. Herod, like Satan in the wilderness, he ultimately believed that he owned his kingdom, his subjects, and everything in it. See, power is what drives the kingdom of man forward, but also deception. Blessed are the spinners and liars, for the deceivers are the pure in heart. Notice King Herod. He hears this news, and all of a sudden, he becomes religious. In verses 6 through 8, he begins to read his Bible. He meets with the pastors of his day. He wants to worship and bow down. For good motives, well, time tells. Every diseased tree bears fruit, bears bad fruit. He's found out. His deception failed him, and God knew his heart. Matthew tells us it was all a sinister's plot. You know, in the kingdom of man, we are willing to use anything, religion or God, to get power, to keep power, to get more power, and to get what we want. It drives us. But when we don't, blessed are the merciless, for their actions shall be rewarded. King Herod, he didn't get what he wanted, and the people knew the pain that was ensuing. Did you notice that in verse 3? Did you notice that? It says, when Herod the king heard the king of the Jew was born, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. They know Herod is merciless. Truly, it is a tragic ending. King Herod's fury decreed that all male children in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas would be slaughtered, and the mothers wept. The telos of the kingdom of man is power. Now, what do we make of this? Is it just a slice of human history? Oh, no. Oh, people of God, we still live in the kingdom of man. It's what Paul calls the present evil age. Every kingdom of this world, every nation seeks for power. This is where it's going to end up. The Butter Battle Book. Do you remember this book by Dr. Seuss? Do you remember the book by Dr. Seuss? It's a parody of a fighting of two countries of whether one should butter your bread on the top side or one should butter it on the bottom side. And each page turns, escalating the power used by increased weaponry and mutual assured destruction. Where will blessed are the powerful take us? It's going to end up with powerful people or powerful person controlling unjustly, unrighteously, and destructive ways. And while we need to recognize that there are measures or gradients of light and goodness in every nation, no nation, not one, has ever crossed the line to be qualified as the kingdom of God. And therefore, there is no kingdoms of this world which are earth's savior. They all lust for power to rule. You know when you know that? You know that? It's when nightmares happen. When another king comes. Notice this. You see, when Jesus was born, look at the reaction by Herod, King Herod. And now history records King Herod as Herod the Great, as well as Herod the Vicious. He was an excellent administrator, no doubt. He oversaw massive building projects. He executed a large-scale famine relief. But by his action, we know he loved power. Power for King Herod was more than just a good thing. It was an ultimate thing. on several occasions, paranoid, overcoming to keeping his power, he cruelly executed his close associates in fits of rage. In the end of his life, he murdered his wife and two sons because he suspected them of trying to take over his throne. So what do you do when you hear that there's another king born in the realm, in your realm of power? Anyone who sees power as an ultimate thing will do everything in their power to snuff out, to bring to an end the other king. If not, it might be the end of their kingdom. Do you see how the coming of Christ is more than just peace, but it's war on the kingdom of man? It is the beginning of the end of the kingdom of man. Consider the literature classic, Anna and the King, or you maybe see the movie, The King and I. It's about the King of Thailand inviting a young British woman who was a widow to teach all his children English. And it's very curious, his invitation to her, well, it reads this one line. It says, "Come and teach the children the English language, but do not teach the Christ religion." Why? Why? Well, the king of Thailand knows that the Christian religion is about the birth of a king. And if Christianity spreads to his family and to his nation, Christ will rival him as king, and his kingdom might end. Let's make this personal, though. How about you? The wise men didn't come to Herod saying, "We're looking for a personal savior and a redeemer. And that would be sort of nice. Well, he can fix all my problems, but I can still have power." No, the issue is that the wise men said, a king is born. That what immediately troubled the heart of the king was a king is born. And this is true for you. And this is true for me. Christmas is a king born in your heart. Will I have to stop my habits? Cut out your eye. Cut off your hand, says the king. Will I have to sell everything? Go and sell everything. Follow me, says the king to the rich young ruler. Will I have to forgive the wrongdoer? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, instructs the king. Will I have to lose my freedom? Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, says the king to all of us. The coming of Christ isn't just the end of nations and kingdoms, it's the end of you. It's a war on you. British pastor John Stott used to say, quote, "No one who ever met Jesus Christ ever responded to him moderately. The only three things you see people doing when they meet the real Jesus are to run away from him in terror, assault him with fury, or prostrate themselves in utter surrender." Friends, when you see that the telos of the kingdom of man is futile and destructive, then and only then will you see the beauty of the star and the beginnings of the kingdom of God. So let's look at the beginnings of the kingdom of God. Well, Matthew speaks how the kingdom of God dawns over the kingdom of man in his gospel narrative. He has already shown that the kingdom of God was birthed supernaturally in the womb of Mary. And this gives us a great clue that the kingdom of God is something very different than the kingdom of man. The beginning of the kingdom of God begins with this is very different. It begins differently. And in fact, this is why it creates so much conflict with the kingdom of man. Yes, it goes at every heart. It goes at everyone. Yes, conflict. But also the kingdom of God is what everyone, every heart is going after. Look at the wise man here. The wise men are on a journey. It's a long journey. And they're coming from the east. They give us the reason for their journey. They say they're looking for a newborn king. They're coming to worship him. See, before they ever stepped out their door, there's something that's going on in their heart. There's a hunger. There's a hunger for something new, something bright, like a star they see. Something that they've always longed for. They long to be satisfied. In the kingdom, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. A lot of people, when they come to this text, and these discussions are helpful, it's questions about the miraculous nature of the star. But you know, there comes a point. It's when it's not that you doubt the star's appearing. It's whether you're hungry. It's whether you're thirsty for a kingdom that's beyond this world. And this takes faith. Birth in your heart, like Jesus in the womb. The wise men are a picture of the ones who live by faith, that are justified by faith. Abraham, he looked up to the stars, and the Lord said, your descendants will be innumerable. Abraham believed, and it was counted as righteous. Habakkuk, the prophet, you're complaining. You're complaining because the world seems to get the upper hand, the powerful are winning. And the Lord reminds him, no, the just shall live by faith. You see, this is with the wise men. Look at verses 10 and 11. See, it's by faith they had followed the star. By faith, they didn't know if there was going to be a child there. By faith, they entered into the house. And then they rejoiced with exceeding great joy because they saw the child with Mary. And they fell down and they worshiped. And they gave gifts of gratitude. The beginning of the kingdom of God begins being willing to humble yourself and to worship the true king. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. It's an economy of humility, dependence. It's a tremendous awareness of your utter nothingness in the face of God and his worthiness. So you can imagine, these wise men were the philosophers, they were the scientists, they were the smart people of the day. They were the ones in power. They had great power, and yet it wasn't ultimate for them. They searched because they knew that something didn't satisfy them. And when they came in the presence of King Jesus, they let it go and they bowed down as an act of realizing that all their wealth and all their intelligence and all their prestige is nothing. And that Christ is everything. And that's what sprung joy, exceeding joy. See, that's a conflict for us too. We all want to use our wealth, our intelligence, our position, and ultimately it's all these forms of power saying, I'm enough, I'm king, I rule my world. And Jesus says to you, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's saying, come to me like a child. I did to you. I came to show you that the way is not up, but down. My grace flows down. See, every year we need to confess, I need to confess Christmas. We need to celebrate Christmas. We need to say, I, poor in spirit, need Christmas. We pause and we ponder to remember. Christmas reminds us that the kingdom of God has begun. It's too familiar to us. We look up or we look out, we look up from our phones, and we see no one because we're lonely. We read the newspaper and we hear of shootings or war. We look at to those who are the closest to us and we feel brokenness. We look in our hearts and we know that it's as dark as anyone. Oh, Christmas reminds us that in the fields, the shepherds heard the angels sing. It reminds us that in the temple, Simeon's wait was over. That in the days of King Herod, in this present evil age, there was a baby, and he was born, and that baby is Jesus. And that the wise men found the baby and couldn't help but kneel. And surprising joy came. What does the carol say? Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Yes, joy, but comfort? Comfort in the front of the worst suffering? Comfort in the face of the worst injustice? What does Herod do? Herod sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that regions. How often are our cries like Rachel, weeping for her children? See, verse 18 is a quotation from Jeremiah 31:15. And in Jeremiah 31, it's the prophet announcing the new covenant and the new kingdom. And Rachel. Now, why is Rachel refusing comfort? She knew that any earthly comfort in an earthly kingdom would not do. Not in earthly Israel. It would not do. But could she look in faith? Her weeping would be met. The fulfillment is not in an earthly nation, but in the new kingdom. The kingdom of God, which begins with the birth of the king in Bethlehem. It begins with new birth, second birth, as the carol says, in our hearts, in your heart, through regeneration by the Spirit, supernaturally awakening our hearts to the kingdom. See, in the new kingdom, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you know what that means? That the kingdom of man, with all its authoritarianism, brutality, infanticide, injustice, sin, brokenness, does not get the last word. Why? Because in the new kingdom and in the new covenant, the new King Jesus, well, he came into this kingdom of man and he lived in humiliation. And you know, on the cross, he goes under the powerful and the swindlers and the liars and the deceivers and the merciless, and he is killed in your place for your sin. He takes our suffering so that the final word for us will be comfort, comfort and joy and peace forevermore in the kingdom of God. So, let all the kingdom of man fade away. Let us repent. And let us rejoice to see that the new beginnings of the kingdom of God has come. Here is the gospel message. The king is born. The beginnings of the kingdom are here and now. Let us come humbly to Christ this season. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it works on us. It also springs joy in us. Again, may those who hear your word receive it well. In Christ's name, amen. Whereas